We're going to start this morning with what is hospitality. Now, there are lots of things that might come to mind when we think of the word hospitality. The tourism industry, for one. We call that the hospitality industry. If you look at Dave Alton, you would see the Beverly Hillbillies come to mind when you think of hospitality. Wednesday night, I tossed this question up on Facebook, because Facebook is a great way to get input into your sermon. And you guys had some fantastic hospitality answers, from an open door to it's cultural, to a few shout-outs to people in our community that we know are hospitable. And I'm sure any number of us could add a few more names to the list. Sometimes, when we think of the word hospitality, I think we have it wrong. I think these are really good answers, and I was encouraged. But sometimes, some of you may think hospitality and Martha Stewart in the same sentence. Anyone? Anyone? Hospitality, Martha Stewart. You know, hospitality is not about perfection. It is not about doilies on the table or flowers in the vase. And so if this is the kind of hospitality you're thinking about, I want you just to shift gears with me this morning, okay? I am no Martha Stewart. It's okay if you are. I actually quite love some people that are fantastic cooks. I love receiving hospitality for them. But I am not that person. This is like true confessions of Linda Ray this morning, so good luck. I moved into my very first apartment in January of 2008, and I was 23 years old, and I was so thrilled to have a place to call my own. You can do the math if you want. But I was 23 years old. This place was my own. And so me and my mom went down to Rona and picked out paint colors, and me and my dad started ripping up carpet. Well, actually, my mom did that too. We started ripping up carpet and chipping up the tile and getting the place ready. It took 6 months before I felt ready to have someone in my home. And that first year, I only had a handful of guests. I felt that I was not good enough to be hospitable to our people. I felt that my place wasn't clean enough or finished enough or any of these things to invite people into it. And God really challenged me in this season. Hospitality is something I've learned a lot about, actually, over the last number of years, because I had a lot to learn. God really challenged me, and he said, Linda, if you want to be a hospitable person, you need to get over all of that. You need to get over impressing people. You need to stop thinking about, what will they think? Will they judge me? You know what? I have had lots of people over to my house when there have been dishes in the sink, and no one has ever said, oh, Linda, that's gross. You are just a slob. You know? If you want to try, you can. Probably wouldn't bother me, you know? I've had takeout with lots of people in my home, and no one has ever said, Linda, clearly if you're ordering takeout, you're not a good enough cook to have me over to your house. That has never come out of any of my guests' mouths. Maybe there's a first. Maybe somebody will say it one day. But right now, I just know that hospitality is not about impressing people. It is not about making a good impression. It is about welcoming people in. Okay, takeout is okay, dishes in the sink are okay. Guess what, laundry on the floor of your bedroom is okay. They shouldn't be in there anyways. Shut the door. No problem. No problem. I have a friend, actually several now, who are five-minute friends. And I'll get phone calls, and I'll get the, so what are you doing right now? And I'll be like, did you check at the church already? I'm not at the church. And they're like, yeah, I checked at the church already. Are you standing on my doorstep? Yeah, but I'll give you 5 minutes. I'm like, okay, great, 5 minutes. I can get my house ready for guests in 5 minutes. The Lord has really challenged me that this is the kind of hospitality that he wants me to have. And I am not Martha Stewart. I am not doily on the table, flowers in the vase. Well, there are flowers in the vase, but they're quite dead right now. I need to throw them out. But that is not what hospitality is about. Hospitality is not about impressing people. I want to tell you another story. A few months ago, hospitality is not about us. We learned a couple weeks ago that generosity begins with God. Generosity is about God's will in our life. Generosity is about Him working through us. So generosity and hospitality fits into that, is not about us. A few months ago, I was grabbing dinner at Tayala. It's one of my favorites, Tayala. I was running home from work, and then I was going to go write a paper, I think, was the plan. So I was just at Tayala waiting for my food, and then I was going to nip out. And a couple from our church walked in. And my first thought was date night, because their kid wasn't with them. And I asked, this couple said I could tell you who it was. It was Ronnie and Marie Scott. And so Ronnie and Marie Scott had dropped Nick off here at youth. It must have been a Wednesday night. And they were headed to Tayala to have a nice, you know, dinner together. Good times. And Ronnie and Marie are very unique people in that they are good at hospitality. Maybe that shouldn't be a unique thing, but they are good at hospitality. And so we were chatting, and my food was getting made, and we were chatting, and they're like, come join us at our table. And my first impression was, I don't think so. And I like Ronnie and Marie Scott. It's not that I don't like Ronnie and Marie, but my first impression was, this is your night out. This is your time alone. I have things that I need to do. I don't know if I want to give up my things. How am I going to fit this into my schedule? There were all sorts of things that raced through my mind in that moment before I said, sure, why don't I sit with you at your table? Sure. You know, we spent a couple hours at Tayala, and I actually ended up back at their house for dessert and had a fantastic evening with Ronnie and Marie Scott. And I totally felt welcomed in. I received hospitality beyond belief that night. I felt like there was so much generosity in the way the evening unfolded. And I could have missed it. When we think hospitality is about us, I think we miss out. There are fears connected to hospitality, yes. It takes a risk. It takes a risk of putting ourselves out there. I didn't want to step on Ronnie and Marie's dinner plans. I wasn't sure I wanted to give up my night of alone time. I didn't know if I could belong at their table. If you're single, you know what I mean. I didn't want to be the third wheel. I didn't want to improvise. I wasn't sure I had anything to offer. That's a lot of eyes, okay? Hospitality is not about us. Maybe your fears or your barriers to hospitality are different than mine, and that's totally okay. You might not want to sacrifice the time you have with your kids and your family. That's precious time. You might not feel like your space is good enough for you to welcome somebody into. You might not feel like you are a competent host or a good cook. But God calls us to step past our fears. God calls us to step over the barriers and to invite people in. I want to acknowledge that our fear is real, but in Jesus, the victorious one, we do not need to be afraid. We need to risk and put others in front of ourselves if we are going to be a generous and hospitable people. Okay, so we have two hospitality is nots. Now we need to nail down what is hospitality. What does the Bible say hospitality is? What does hospitality require of us? So, hospitality is about love in action. Christian hospitality requires an openness of heart, a willingness to make one's life visible to others, and a generosity of our time and resources. You know what? Hospitality is about showing the love of Jesus. This is the generosity piece. It's about Jesus coming through us and encountering someone else. When we open our home, we show hospitality. When we share a meal, we show hospitality. When we're open with our lives, like we invite people into our stories, we invite people to share their stories, we are hospitable people. There are many studies on hospitality. If you Google it, you'll find them. I promise. I did. And one of them showed that more than the meal is central to hospitality, yes. A great space is central to hospitality, sure. But the thing that shows welcome the most, do you guys know what it is? It's making eye contact. It's focusing in on somebody and saying, I care about you. I have time for you. And you are welcome at my table. This is what hospitality is. This is something that we need to be good at. We need to be good at making eye contact and saying to somebody, I am focused on you. In this amount of time, I am focused on you. So as we extend hospitality, we're inviting people to come to us. Do you know, there's somebody who is really good at hospitality. Martha Stewart's not our example of hospitality. This person is. And if you were at Sunday school today, if you were at his kids today, you would know what the answer is. Do you guys know what it is? Somebody yell it out. Jesus. Yes. Good. Awesome. I can describe a squirrel and they yell out Jesus. So, you know, you got to know this is the right answer almost every time. Okay? Good. Jesus is really, really good at hospitality. In the Bible, we hear about hospitality here and there. We hear offer hospitality without grumbling and complaining. We hear that when we offer hospitality, we, you know, might encounter angels. We hear that we are supposed to offer hospitality to everyone in need. But there isn't really a big Jesus talk on hospitality. And I think I know why. In the scriptures, we see Jesus put hospitality into action. Instead of talking about it, Jesus decides to show us what hospitality is. And to me, this is one of the best ways to learn something. Jesus was hospitable. Jesus was all about hospitality. And Jesus' purpose for coming to earth is actually a mission of hospitality. When Jesus came to earth, he invited us into the kingdom. And that is an act of hospitality. And we're going to come back to that when we look at communion in a little bit. Let me give you some Jesus stories that remind me of hospitality. Jesus is in a field with 5,000 strangers, or followers. We could call them followers. But he hadn't known them very long. And these 5,000 people were getting hungry, because that's what happens. And Jesus is in this field with these 5,000, and his disciples are there, the 12 guys. Do you know what their response was? Send them away. These guys are hungry. We need to send them home so that they can have something to eat. And Jesus looked at it a different way. Jesus saw an opportunity. And he said, well, what do we have? 3 fish, 5 loaves, something like that. You know, you can look it up. It's in there. I promise. And, you know, Jesus said, it's okay. We've got enough. Let's take what we've got. Let's give it to God. And let's feed these people. So Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus is walking into a city. Another story. Jesus is walking into a city, and there's this outsider who's hanging out in a tree, of all places. Do you guys know what his name is? Zacchaeus. You guys are good. You paid attention in Sunday school. I can tell. And so Zacchaeus is hanging out in this tree because he really, really wants to see Jesus. But he's an outsider. He's a tax collector. He's a bit of a thief. He's a bad guy. Poor Zacchaeus. And so Zacchaeus is up in the tree, and Jesus sees Zacchaeus. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house today. Jesus didn't even have a home to be hospitable with. He chose to use Zacchaeus' home. And he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over. And I'm going to host a meal at your table. And so Jesus took anyone. Jesus took the outsider, and he welcomed him in. Jesus is often found eating with his disciples and teaching his disciples what it looks like to be a hospitable people. Whether it's the Last Supper or many other stories in Scripture, we find that Jesus sits at the meal with his friends, with his disciples. He takes the time. How many of you have ever thought meals are filler time? I think of meals this way sometimes. I think I am busy. I have a lot going on. I don't actually need to eat. You know, this is just filler time. I need to grab something and eat it in the car on my way from point A to point B. I need to eat that energy bar or shake and get on the go, okay? Jesus was never like this. Jesus thought of meals as important, and they were not filler for him. When Jesus sat down at a meal with people, they were changed. They were transformed. They encountered the presence of Jesus. I think I need to change my outlook on what it looks like to be too busy. In scriptures, Jesus did a lot of things, but we never get the impression that he was rushed or busy or didn't have time or had too full of a schedule. Even when something really important was coming next, he took the time to meet with the people he encountered. this is a very cool thing. Perhaps it's because Jesus knew the blessing and benefit of hospitality. And so this is what I want to take the rest of our time, got a few more minutes, to talk about. When we extend hospitality, what are we doing? What happens when we extend hospitality? Well, I think two things. First, people find a place to belong. People find that they belong in the family of God when we extend hospitality to them. As a church, when we extend hospitality, we're saying, you belong here. We want you in our family. We want you at our table. So whether you're a home group or you're just an individual in this church, say to somebody this week, we want you. We believe you belong here with us. The second thing that hospitality does is it is a place where we encounter Jesus. Like I said, transformation happened in all of the Jesus stories at the table. And there's one story that I see huge transformation happening at the table. It's one that I want to share with you this morning. And you could turn there, but I would prefer if you just listened. So shut your eyes, maybe, and imagine the scene. Oh, I can give you a picture, I think. Yes. So that's kind of the scene. This is on the road to Emmaus from my trip to Israel about a year and a half ago. We made three guys walk it, not the whole way because it's quite long. But that's the scene, okay? And so close your eyes and picture it and think, this is what it was like for these guys. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened, and as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Just so you know, this story happens at the end of the gospel. Jesus has already died on the cross, and he's risen from the dead. It's 3 days later. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? And Jesus said, what things? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find the body. They came and they told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. And Jesus said to them, how foolish are you? That's not probably as mean of a term as it sounds. How foolish are you? And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, they explained to him that what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening, and the day is almost over. So they went to stay with him. When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. You know, it's interesting that Jesus was present with these disciples the whole time they were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus, 7 miles. Jesus talked to them. Jesus met with them. Jesus told them about himself. But it wasn't until they sat at the table, it wasn't until they received an act of hospitality that they realized who Jesus was and there was a place of encounter. Jesus is present in the practice of hospitality. We are called to be a hospitable people because Jesus is present in the practice of hospitality. The two disciples who were fearful and dismayed became alive when they encountered Jesus. The shared meal was Jesus' means of encountering these two disciples. You know, we are called to go and do likewise. We are called to go and be like Jesus. And so we, too, have the privilege of inviting people into our space, into our home, into our time, into our relationships. And when we do, we offer up the opportunity to meet with Jesus. Hospitality, in lots of ways, is so countercultural. In lots of ways, it's weird to invite somebody you just met on the street or at the store into your home. It's weird to invite somebody you just met at church into your space. But hospitality is about showing the love of Jesus. And that's something we want to be about. We want to be a hospitable people. We want others to encounter Jesus. We want others to take notice and to do the same. When we offer our space, our time, our relationships, we really are offering an encounter with Jesus for them. But we're growing our hearts for Jesus too, because we get to receive part of that encounter. Jesus is in the practice of hospitality. And so when we offer hospitality, we, too, are blessed. I want to leave you with a challenge this morning, a challenge that will kind of maybe not feel good, or maybe it will be like, yes, I want to be a part of that. Either way, I want this to be a happy challenge, so don't feel, like, overwhelmed about hospitality. Walk away feeling like I could meet Jesus as I invite somebody to my table. About a year ago, Mel Chappell, that's not how you say your name, Mel Chappell, British. I learned this last weekend at the women's retreat. I'm going to say it right. Mel Chappell invited me over to her house on a Sunday night. And I said, what's the occasion? Because that seemed like a fitting thing to ask. Like, what are we celebrating? Like, why am I coming to your house? I've never come to your house before. And Mel said, it's Sunday. Okay. Good. Good enough reason. Okay. And I said, that sounds good. Sundays are good. And she said, every Sunday, we fill our two empty seats at our table. And for a year, Mel and her daughter Alex had been inviting people over to fill the two empty seats that they had at their table every single Sunday night. I was challenged. I was like, oh my goodness, I have empty seats at my table. I need to move a few things so I can find my table, but I have empty seats at my table. Okay? Are you with me? And so I was challenged that I need to be inviting people into my empty seats. And maybe you have empty seats at your table, or maybe it's more appropriately on your couch. Or maybe you don't have a table and you just want to take somebody out this week. That's okay. I really want you to hear this challenge that this week I want us to try to do something with this word, that God is in the practice of hospitality and God calls us to be a hospitable people. And so I want you to think, if I have an empty seat at my table, who can I invite to fill it? And maybe let the Lord lead you on who you should be inviting to fill the seats at your table. Does that sound good? Maybe it's going to be one of our young adults. Maybe it's going to be one of our coffee time people. Maybe it's going to be somebody who walks in a different circle than you. That's okay. Hospitality is about extending love, the love of Jesus, to all people from all different walks of life. Maybe it's the girl behind you in line at the Safeway. I don't know. I don't know who it is that God will encourage you to lead a hospitable life with. But I believe that God will. And so again, I know it's Mother's Day. You might not want to take somebody home with you today if you're celebrating mom. That's okay. I'm giving you 7 days. I'm giving you 1 week. Find some time, find some space to invite people to your table this week. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to turn our eyes towards the communion table. Let's pray. Lord, I just believe that you are present in the practice of hospitality. God, I want to break off any fear that we may feel about inviting people into our space, into our time, into our relationships. Because, God, we know that you are present with us. And we know that our time is really not our own, it's yours. God, I believe that you have a plan for us to be a hospitable people, for us to be a hospitable church, for us to reach out and to meet and to encounter Jesus with our friends and our neighbors, with people in our church community, with people in our broader community of the North Shore. God, I pray that you would plant within us a deep desire to be a hospitable people, and that we would remember always that generosity flows from you. God, be with us this morning as we encounter you. Be with us this week as we step over our fear and we invite somebody in. Teach us to be like you were. Teach us to be hospitable. Thank you, Father, that you are with us. Let your spirit rest heavy on us this morning. We pray these things in your name. Amen. So as we turn our eyes to communion this morning, I want to remind you that this, too, is a table of hospitality. I want you to think about it, that Jesus came to earth. When we remember, when we celebrate communion, we're remembering that Jesus came to earth so that he could die on the cross and invite us into the kingdom of heaven. And this is an act of hospitality. It was unexpected. It was required. But it wasn't required in the sense that we knew it was going to happen. It was required because there was this huge gap between us and God. And so Jesus makes a way for us to walk from one side to the other. Jesus makes a way for us to run into the throne of heaven, into the room of heaven, to the table that is in heaven, that is, you know, the heavenly kingdom. As we take the bread and the cup this morning, I want us to remember that hospitality, communion, is not something we do alone. We walk up to the front alone so often. And I want you to think about coming with somebody. Come with your family if they're here. Come with the person you met earlier if you don't have anyone else to come with. Grab a stranger, grab a friend, and come to communion together. Because we come to this table as a remembrance of hospitality. When Jesus died, he linked grace and hospitality and life together in this act. And we want to be a people who remember that today.